Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Want to come to you today, bring you some truth from God's Word. Let's talk about letter versus the Spirit. I want to discuss the concept of Spirit versus letter, letter versus the Spirit, and how we see that in God's Word. Apostle Paul mentions it, speaks about it here, 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. And such trust have we through Christ to God forward, not that we are sufficient to ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So let's look at that word letter. In Greek, the word letter is grammar. It means writing, epistle, book, scripture, written. All right. So specifically here, in this context, Paul is talking about the letter of the old law versus the new covenant that came to us via Christ, the gospel, and the Spirit. And how do we know this? Well, we just keep reading 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So this is making the case that the old Torah law ways in the Old Testament were the past, and the new covenant has come via the Spirit. It's come to us via Christ and the gospel and all those who will repent and believe. If you need more verses to back up that the old faded away and the new has come, let's look at Hebrews verse 12, verse 19, and verse 22. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Also, let's look at Hebrews chapter 8, starting with verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, howby also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and old waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So those scriptures are pretty clear. It's teaching us that the letter would have been the old Torah law. It was given to Israel as a guide to them. It really showed us all our sinfulness, showed the Israelites, would show all of us our sinfulness, until the Messiah would come via the Spirit, the gospel, and he is the ultimate guide, right, dwelling in us to the Father, bringing the grace that will save us as we follow him in that glorious gospel of faith, in his shed blood, death, burial, resurrection, repentance, new life, holiness and obedience and enduring on. That's the good news of the gospel, right? Now, it's the Spirit, not the letter, that gives us great depth, gives us real ultimate purpose. It gives us the whole meaning of it all. In John 10:10, he says, he came to give us life. Okay? What a glorious thing. The Spirit, through Christ, brings us life. We find redemption in Christ, whereas the letter of the law, what? It was crushing, right? It was as we could not keep it. We couldn't bear it. It was a measuring tool, and it all pointed us to Jesus Christ. The New Testament, some of the Pharisees tried to put the Old Testament Torah law on the Gentiles. Peter says this in Acts 15:10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? Put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Yeah, that's the context of what Paul said there. The Torah law given to Israel as an archetype, shadow, pointing to Christ, versus the Spirit that would come. So keep that in mind. Now, let's move on to some other scriptures that kind of gives us examples of spirit versus letter. It's more practical here for us. Matthew 12, 1 through 8. And at that time Jesus went on to the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and did pluck ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and that they were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how in the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So there you go. You got that letter of the law, Sabbath, don't do any work, don't do anything. His disciples pick corn. You heard what Jesus said. He's making the case with David, because David did a similar thing. And what it all comes down to is Christ, God, is above the law. Right? And so we have the spirit and the letter in certain situations. You can read about David eating the showbread in 1 Samuel 21. You can read about it there. So you see that spirit and that letter at work? Well, let's keep reading in Matthew 12. Jesus goes on, 9 through 14. And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And when he said unto them, What shall there be among ye, that shall one have a sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. So you see that? See the spirit versus the letter? They're telling Jesus, don't work, don't do things on the Sabbath day. Jesus heals on the Sabbath day. He says, hey, this guy's more important than a sheep, and you'd even help your sheep on a Sabbath day. You wouldn't look in a hole and go, sorry, animal, valuable animal, can't help you. Spirit verse the letter. It's so very, very important that we grasp this concept, because we're going to run into this in our faith life, all right? Now, I need to say this right here, because detractors and enemies are going to jump up. God does expect us to obey his New Testament law, what's applicable for today, also some pre-Torah law, in full when we can. But there are times that we can't or don't. And if it's for a higher purpose and it's appropriate for his glory by the Spirit trumps the letter of the law. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here. Now, you may say, well, that seems confusing. That seems really hypocritical. I can't really grasp that. What's the purpose of the letter versus the Spirit? Well, again, the letter was pointing to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to him. Once he comes, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. They all missed that whole point. He's an archetype for us, and the Spirit is above the letter of the law. Let me give you some real-world examples. This might help us understand this biblical spirit versus the law with some real spirit versus the letter with some real-world examples. Here's a good example I always use. If you speed like crazy in your car, you're going to get pulled over and get a ticket by the police, right? Because you broke the law. That's the law. But what if they pull you over and you have a person bleeding to death in your back seat and you say, I'm rushing to the hospital. They don't stand there and give you a ticket. They say, follow me. They put their lights on and they escort you at high speed to the hospital and you won't get a ticket. Did you see the spirit versus the letter? They knew you were helping someone in need. That person was more important than their speeding law. You see the spirit versus the letter? I think this next example that I'm going to give you covers how God the Father and Christ trump the letter of the law because they're over it and the author of it. Let me give you this example. Let's say you work at a company and you get a half-hour lunch break. That's the rule. And you're sitting having your half-hour lunch break, and a man that you've never met before comes and sits down next to you, and he says, you know what? I want you to take an hour and a half lunch. And you look at him, you go, oh, no, I can't do that. I only get a half an hour lunch. I got to get back to work. And he says, no, sit and enjoy another extra hour for lunch. Let's you and I sit and talk. And you go, no, no, I can't do that. I'll get in trouble. And he says, no, you won't. I own the company. I make the rules. I'm going to change that rule. I want you to sit and talk with me for the next hour, giving you a longer lunch break. You see how the man, the owner, had authority over the laws he put in place. The laws were there. They weren't going to change. The next day, that guy had to obey his half-hour lunch break. But on this day, the spirit, the owner was there, wanted his time, allowed him to take the longer lunch break. Spirit over the letter. Very, very important concept to grasp. And just like that boss, God does not do it haphazardly all over, excusing people's sin, making allowance for breaking the law, the New Testament ways. No, it's done with very, very much care and where it is appropriate. Now, again, before you say, oh, we can just toss off obedience and God overlooks all that. No, no, you can't. In Romans 6, Paul says, don't sin because grace has come. So that's God. Spirit over the letter is God's grace, right? And in John 4:24, one of my favorite verses, Jesus says, the Spirit demands, or God demands, that we worship him in spirit and in truth. So we can't go around abrogating the law just at our own willy-nilly way and claim to be in spirit and truth, though there are times when we can be allowed to do that. I'm going to give you some other examples of that. How about when Jesus scolded the Pharisees and he told them about keeping the law? Let's read this. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, mercy, judgment, and faith. Then he says this, these ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Did you notice that? He allowed them, or he was reminding them, that they put a heavier weight on some of the law, but because it wasn't appropriate, he didn't say, yeah, you don't have to worry about doing that. It was appropriate for them to do them all and leave them not undone. Amen? So, the other point I want to make, most of the time, I can't put a percentage on it, but way over 95% of the time, you can obey what God has called us to do. We're expected to obey Christ in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Hebrews 5:9 says he made the way for those who obey him. Acts 5 says he gave the Holy Spirit to those who will obey him. That's part of our New Testament covenant, is obeying God. But spirit versus the letter, over the course of time, we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see cases where there's a conflict and we see the spirit rising above the mere letter of the law. Let's give some examples. How about Rahab, the prostitute, lying, not just for the fun of it, to protect God's spies? You can read about that in Joshua chapter 2. How about the Egyptian women who defy the order to harm the babies to save Moses? That would be in Exodus chapter 1. How about in the New Testament, Mary pouring the expensive perfume? Remember, the disciples said, she shouldn't have done that. We should have sold that, gave the money to the poor. It's worth a lot of money. She poured it on Jesus' feet to honor and respect him. You can read about that in John chapter 12. How about the woman who had an issue of blood? She touches Jesus, and he's not defiled, and she gets healed. In the Old Testament, if a woman was bleeding and touched someone, or touched a man, he was defiled. Jesus wasn't defiled by her. You can read about that in Matthew 9. How about Apostle Paul, who said, don't do evil for evil, don't do harm? We know what the Bible teaches about physically harming someone. Paul tells the false teachers to cut their manhood off in Galatians 5. Interesting. And then lastly, in John chapter 2, Jesus, peaceful, loving, meek, kind, humble, makes a whip in righteous anger and drives the animals and the money changers out of the temple. So do you see those contrasts between the letter and the spirit, and where sometimes it's appropriate for it to be just that way? Now, in some areas, we have the word, okay, that is not specific on how we should live things out. Let's talk about them. Things like head covering, the style of it, exact clothing that we wear. The Bible gives us guidelines, but not exact details. Being involved in government or voting, How about how we enjoy like downtime when you're not working or preaching or studying? What do you do for your free time with your family? I would call it recreation time, not recreation time. And how about how we spend our money? So we have guidelines, but not exacting guidelines. Here we have to be led by the Spirit, born of God, and not sin, of course, willfully, but also don't put a burden on ourselves or others that we can't back up in Scripture, because that would be a burdensome thing like the Pharisees did. They put burdens on people. And that would be something that goes against the Spirit versus the letter. So like with clothing, we always tell people how God's Word tells us we should dress, women, men. But we don't have a uniform. We don't have length. We don't have exact color. We don't have exact style. We don't have exact material. We tell people, understand what the letter of the law says. Woman should wear a head covering, a long unadorned dress. A man should wear a tunic, have his head uncovered. And then meet the spirit of it, how you can do it based upon that. All right? So that's very important that we understand that. And this takes wisdom. And this takes walking in his word. And this takes understanding the heart of God. He's not out to get us. Right? He understands the spirit versus the letter. I gave you all these examples. But he expects us to obey when we can. He expects us to use wisdom to stay out of those areas that would get us into trouble. And it's not an opportunity to compromise. Not an opportunity to trample his grace, but it's an opportunity to walk in wisdom, humbleness, meekness, discernment, so that we know the areas where the Spirit will overtake what some people will try to put on you as the letter, or a situation, like I gave you those situations, helping someone else rises to the Spirit and doesn't hold you exactly to the letter. So take a look at your own life, your own faith, your own walk, your own house, and see if you can't find examples of that, where there's spirit and letter. Most of the time we're held to the letter of God's word. When it says don't do something, we don't do it. But see if you can find those situations where you go, I see that. I see where the Spirit would allow me to do this, where I normally wouldn't do that. And it'll help you to seek good wisdom, good discernment. It'll help your walk. It'll grow you. It'll mature you. And it'll give you confidence in your walk so that you don't feel like you're bound on a leash, but that you're being guided by the Spirit of God. The Spirit versus the letter. I hope that helps you to understand that concept. I hope it encourages you to take a look at God's Word and test yourself through it all and see how it can help you grow and become a better follower of Jesus Christ. Hey, thanks for listening. Check out don'tperish.com, teaching blog, teaching library, all kinds of sisters, audios, videos, letters, articles, teaching blog, witnessing videos, all to help you walk in the Spirit of God, know the letter of God's word for today, and help other people along the way, loving God, loving our neighbor. Hey, till next time, I hope you have a glorious day. We love you all. God be praised.